Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome, dear listeners, to your program, The Viewpoint. This is Said Ali, your host. And here we are with dear brother, Sheikh Danis. How come, dear brother?
Assalamu alaikum.
Good to have you here. And dear brother Muhammad, good to have you here.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Good to have you here, both of you. So again, we dedicate this episode to the one of the most controversial, I guess, topic of the this millennium, probably, women and our sisters' responsibility, their rights. And in this discussion, we want to explore key topics like Islamic views on women's dignity, their roles in family, society, etc., etc. So let's cut to the chase and ask the first question of Brother Danesh. So how does Islam address the concept of equality versus equity when it comes to the rights and responsibilities of men and women?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the responsibilities and the rights of women, we have, as we say, that for each according to its due, right?
Yeah.
From each according to the ability to give to society.
Yeah.
For example, when we say that women and men, in uh-huh. terms of ibadah and worship,
uh-huh.
they have similar responsibilities. For example, yes. worshipping 5 times a day, fasting 30 days in the month of Ramadan, going to Hajj, paying zakat on their wealth. Regarding performance of jihad, they have a different ruling.
Yeah.
But in terms of ibadah, if you look at it, they have the same responsibilities. Mm-hmm. But of course, because of the special case of women,
yeah.
they are exempt from certain ibadahs and certain times of the year and days. Regarding their responsibilities socially, when we look at it, Amr bil Maruf, Nahi anil Munkar, they are at the same time that men are required to do Amr bil Maruf, Nahi anil Munkar, they are also responsible for mm-hmm. it. Regarding jihad, as I said, they have a different role because they are not required to go out and fight in terms of a classic war,
mm-hmm.
right? And so here you can say that they might have a different role of providing, for example, food for the soldiers who are fighting on the borders, for example. And as has been reported in historical narrations, that women were there on the battlefield providing, for example, medical care or providing food to the mm-hmm. soldiers. But in terms of fighting, they're not expected to do that. Regarding their role in a household setting, we can say that as mothers, they have a very high status. Al-jannatu tahta aqdami ummahatik is a famous hadith.
Which means
that the heaven lies beneath the feet of your mothers. And Rehbar Mu'azzam, the leader, explained this recently, that it means that you are expected to reach out to your mothers, obey your mothers, take care of your mothers, and this will provide an avenue for you not only to be successful in this world, but also for your akhirah and your hereafter. This is basically an avenue for us to reach closer to God and to reach the heaven.
Yeah.
And therefore, we see that it is a complete and comprehensive picture that Islamic law and rules and regulations have with respect to women.
Yeah.
What happens is that we take one part from here, one part from there, and say, look, for example, this is so much against what we currently feel, according to liberal values, what a role of a woman should be in society. For example, they say that our women are fighting side by side with our men in the army, for
yeah.
example. So according to liberal values, they have reached this status, for example. Or, for example, you may have heard of a famous wrestler,
yeah.
for example, who was a woman.
Yeah.
And they made her win the wrestling competition as well in some days back. 10 years back maybe, and or 15 years, and this was promoted as a woman who was a champion over all the
yeah.
men wrestlers.
Mm.
But if you look at it, this was all a staged and managed thing, okay?
Yeah.
So what they did was to highlight in the media that women can also be more powerful than men.
Yes.
And therefore, you can aspire for whatever you want to. But what happens with that woman once she comes out of that wrestling federation and all? Look at her life story. Look at her, how she dies. For example, I'm referring to a specific wrestler called, for example, China.
Okay.
And she dies a very, very sad death. Because everybody had forsaken her by maybe, I think it was 2017. And she dies, she was cut off from all the rest of her family because she had been made a role model for women 10 years back.
Yeah.
But after 3-4 years, when her contract expires, she finds that there is nobody to take care of her.
Her time was finished, yeah.
And she was not very famous then, and she becomes sad with the current situation. I'm saying that this is just one example.
Oh, so sad.
But on a systemic level, if you want to look at it, the Western women has, because of the weakness of the family setup, you see that currently there are statistics which say that 40% of childbirths, and this is a statistic of 2010, around 2010, that 40% of childbirths in most of the Western countries were out of wedlock.
Wow.
And so if a single mother is left to bear the responsibility of a child as well, she will definitely have to work.
Yes.
To provide for her child.
Yeah.
And what happens is that if the child doesn't have a father, the upbringing of this child is also affected. So we see on a systemic level that the women have suffered as a result of this liberal values and all this feminist discourse, and women have not been better off. And therefore, we see that they are coming to realize the importance of the Islamic values.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing up that story.
I'm sorry for the long answer.
Yeah, that was awesome. And yes, I guess mainstream media doesn't cover that part of the story often. Thank you, dear brother Muhammad. How can women actively participate in society while upholding their principles and values?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in wa huwa khayr nasirin wa mu'in. Actively participating in the society, I have a problem with the question itself as to why are you calling specifically women to actively participate in the society? What
I
is
would
the difference?
Say, how dare you? But
what is the difference between men and women when it comes to participating in the actively participating in the society?
I'm getting your point.
Exactly. Mm. So the thing is, when again, I'd really like to touch on the roots because it's going to make it too long. I'm going to be very brief, right?
Please.
The roots are important. Where are we getting these questions from? Why, when in the Islamic history have women not actively participated in this society? Hmm. Lady Fatima al-Zahra, her honeymoon after her marriage was in Battle of Uhud, looking after the
Really?
Her honeymoon was in Battle of Uhud, as brother Sheikh Danish mentioned that the women actively participated in the wars, but not in the battlefield because they were not made for that. It's very important that we understand the differences between men and women and also appreciate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wisely given us, both men and women, different rulings according to the creation that He has given us, right? So Lady Fatima al-Zahra was there.
But some people might say that there was no other choice because people were like, the population of Muslims were so few.
Battle of Badr, yes, but Battle of Uhud was not the case. Battle of Uhud, the Muslims lost a war that they won.
Yeah.
The war was because the Battle of Badr, they had very few soldiers. Mm. It's mentioned that in Battle of Badr, they used to share weapons. When one person would go in front, become tired, or is martyred, the next person in line will go pick up the weapon.
Yeah.
This is how it was. But Battle of Uhud, alhamdulillah, because they had booty from Battle of Badr, they were very well. And beyond that, when Imam Ali was attacked after the death of the noble prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, who stood up for Imam Ali? Not the men.
Yeah.
His own wife, the woman.
Yeah.
Lady Fatima al-Zahra.
True.
And what about after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein? It's very famous that if it weren't for Zainab, then the revolution of Hussein would have been vanished. They played an active role in the society. Now, this is a very misconception that we have, unfortunately. And this is, again, from the feminist movement. And this is mostly from the West because they oppressed mostly the women.
Yeah.
We in Islam, we upheld our women. Mm. And wallahi, and even until now, calling the we don't, in English, we don't have a a word that can translate the Arabic for ghayra.
Yeah, we don't have.
We don't have an exact word. They say honor, they say, some say jealousy, some say positive jealousy. No, yeah. We don't have it. Why? Because in Islam, we have roots for this.
Yeah.
Ghayra meaning to protect and be a manly protector of the family and of your woman.
We do have
woman.
Exclusively, sure.
Exactly. And this is our culture. This is Islamic culture. We never had this question as to why women should not be actively participating. No, the women were actively participating in our society throughout the history of Islam. Yes, even now and even before, there were some misogynists. Again, we are against those. And there were some feminists. We are against those as well. But if you look at the essence of Islam, Islam actually encourages women to be actively participant in the society. If you look at the story of Lady Maryam.
Yeah.
فَرْكَوْ مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ Go pray with those who are praying. Mm. This is a woman. And it was tabooed for the woman to go into the synagogue at that time. Mm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, women and men are, they're both equal when it comes to prayer.
Yeah.
There is no difference.
Thank you so much, dear brother, Sheikh Muhammad. I do have a question, but I guess that's the good time to take a break. So stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome back, dear audience. So here, we would like to continue our discussion with dear brother Sheikh Danish. What are the specific rights and responsibilities of women in the, you know, process of establishing and nurturing a family and keeping all members of the family together according to Islamic teachings, please?
With respect to family rights and responsibilities, this explains that both men and women are responsible for their family. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum. That is, sure. Be responsible, be careful, be attentive to your family. Ku anfusakum, first your own self, and then your family.
Who's the audience of that, you know, order?
Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu explains that both men and women are addressed. Mm. But basically, when we see that in the Islamic family structure, the male member is responsible for the economic side of it, what we can say that the final authority of many issues rests with the male member. But the women also has not been neglected in the way that she is the nurturing or the caretaker of the children.
Yeah.
So she has a responsibility towards the children and her husband. She can see that the husband is doing something wrong in his, for example, economic dealings. Mm. She can point it out to him that this is not allowed, for example, or this is something that is doubtful. And this concept of Amr bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar will apply to her over there. So
it's interesting, like in traditional families, like, I would call it traditional families and traditional sort of sisters, they wouldn't see themselves in a place that they can, give some financial, you know, advice to their husband. So you do see that Quran recognizes these sort of rights for women.
Of course. We see that even in traditional families where the true spirit of Islam is practiced, right? The woman is the caretaker of the house of the man.
Yeah.
And she knows that when the man has difficulties in his economic life, he will not be able to provide for the family.
Yeah.
And if she discusses these matters with her man, it means that she comes to know that his dealings are fair or not. Mm-hmm. And she can always, if this is a religious lady, if this is a person who has a moral concept about what's right and wrong, she is allowed to speak to her husband and as a part of the society. Amr bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar is a responsibility,
like a duty to her,
on all men and women to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is wrong.
Yeah.
So this is not restricted for only the men of the society to do Amr bil Maruf. And where better to do Amr bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar but with your own husband or your own brother or your own father. Mm-hmm. Right? So women, of course, this is a case that women have a different way of conveying their point, right? What the West makes us forget is that this the nature of women is such that they can make their point in a different way as compared to men, but which is more effective as well. How? That is, the concept of a woman is that she is a Raihana in the Ahadith. She is a flower.
Yeah.
Right? So the beauty of the flower, the smell of the flower, the fragrance of the flower.
The delicacy of flower.
Yeah, and the delicacy of the flower. If the woman acts like a flower in her house, what will happen that the man is attracted to her? And what happens is that he is more willing to listen from his wife as compared to other people who might be doing Amr bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar with a scolding sort of a manner.
This is important too. The way that the woman, convey the message, the demands, the thing.
The entire effectiveness of a thing said by, for example, a wise is different from how it is said by your own family.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, dear brother. Thank you, our dear audience, for your support. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.